Welcome to our Worldwide Network for Success, WWYNS, your dedicated business radio station. The mission of our station is to help you learn how successful managers and business owners direct their businesses, capitalize on opportunities, and overcome adversity. Our objective is to help you understand and apply their insights, then use your expertise in your own business or job so that you can become more successful.
Whether you're a professional, a business owner, or a high-level manager, our goal with each program is to provide you with at least one actionable idea you can implement immediately to build your success in business. And if you listen closely enough, you'll find at least 10 or 20, I guarantee it. This is James Roys with Consulting Task Force, and our topic today is continuous improvement techniques for building your business. And our guest, we're lucky enough to have Joe Camara, president of Consulting Task Force, on with us. Welcome, Joe.
Thanks, James. Always a pleasure to be here.
Glad to have you, especially given this topic, continuous improvement techniques. That seems to be self-evident, but can you give us an idea of really what continuous improvement means?
Well, the two words by themselves are great words, continuous improvement. If everybody did that, everything would always be getting better. But the basic idea behind this idea is that it's a process and a system. It's not just something that happens casually, and it's not just something people would like to happen. It's a regular, proven set of techniques and methods to make it work.
And I'm not sure, but continuous improvement doesn't sound like a buzzword. It hasn't come to buzzword status yet necessarily in the industry like perhaps TQM has or other types of management lingo. But is continuous improvement comparable with TQM and those kinds of ideas?
Well, actually, to a large degree, it's grown out of the Japanese idea of total quality, and really is one of the aspects of total quality. But I like it because it's a broader concept. It'll work whether you have a service or a product-oriented business, a retail business, whether you're serving customers, whether you're improving your human resource activities. No matter what, it fits every aspect of your business.
And one of the things that we say, I think, is a lot is that if you continue to do the same things that you're doing, you'll continue to get the same results. And I guess this concept forces you to say, look, let's just make sure that every day we're doing something to make sure that to make us better.
Well, and another nice thing, and it fits again with our philosophy, is that growth happens in small steps. Well, if we can improve 1% a month, as we've talked about in other shows, then by the end of the year we'll have a 12% improvement at the very least, even if it's not compounded. If we improve two areas simultaneously 1% a month, which is certainly reasonable in most people's minds, now we've got a 24% improvement. It's a great idea, and it's something that every business should be doing all the time.
And this idea of continuous improvement isn't just for manufacturing firms like, you know, I guess like TQM first started out as things that were more measurable, but this is something that can be applied easily to any business.
Absolutely. Any business in any part of the business. And every individual can do it. I think if every person who was an employee anywhere caught the eye of their immediate superior and could show a small incremental improvements day after day, week after week, month after month, that person would be on their way up. That's really the nature of taking on more responsibility and making things happen and making them better.
Okay, now the nature of our business is not just to give good advice. It's to give people and businesses actual tools that they can use to implement the things that we're talking about. So let's talk about these techniques. Let's start with the steps that we need to look at to develop an effective plan to implement this kind of program.
Well, the first step is the easiest step, and maybe the one that everybody thinks they will do is, and it's just to decide, make a commitment. Now, to some degree, a commitment may involve funds or it may involve a different way of doing things, but that's really the first step, and it's pretty easy. The second step is, as you say, is to make a plan. Let's start deciding what we're going to focus on. Where are the areas we can either identify the greatest amount of growth, or where are the areas that everybody's excited about creating an opportunity to improve? That's easy also. There may be some training involved, and it depends on the nature of your business and the nature of the management. Some people are pretty good at getting people organized and focused on small incremental steps, and maybe there doesn't need to be any training. Some of what we're going to be talking about today require training. Once people are trained to act, then they can act. And some of it has to do with empowerment, another TQM-type idea. But if you say to people, look, if you can show me how to make things 1% better a month or 1% better a day or whatever it happens to be, I'll give you free rein to make it better. Just go ahead and do it. Let's make sure that things are working the way you think they're going to work. Let's verify. Let's measure the fact that there's change. So if, let's say, we're doing an easy thing, making outbound calls, and our current goal is to make 20 an hour, well, just making 21 an hour is a 5% increase. And so if we can measure that, we'll know whether we're actually making a 5% increase. So even if that covers 5 months, that's great. As long as we make 21 every day instead of 20, we'll know that we're getting better. And then the next step is going to be to make 22 and then 23 and so on. And as long as you're verifying and measuring, you're pretty sure there's going to be growth. And a lot of people say you can't measure everything, but I don't buy that. There's always a way to measure stuff. Once you've been doing that, then you're going to institutionalize. You're going to make this part of the routine. You're going to show people who come into the company maybe where you started, what the growth was, how you got better, what things people did to improve. And you spread it from small teams of successful results through the rest of the business. And then the major payoff comes from, if you're making more money, either profits or revenues, share that with people who are having impact on the growth. People who are creating improvement ought to get rewarded. Sounds simple, and hopefully it is simple, that it's not necessarily easy. I know people who've listened to our show probably have heard that before from us, but it's a very simple idea, and as long as you keep it simple and straightforward, it'll work.
Well, hey, you know, nothing in business is easy, and any entrepreneur can tell you that, but the commitment, it seems, has been there to start the business. If the business has started and you've made that commitment to make that happen, and you're growing, or you've been around for 5 or 10 or 20 years, this seems to me to be something very worthwhile making happen. It seems like, Joe, I want to get to that. I want to start at the beginning of your list, the decision-making process. Should we expect, or should a business owner expect that their continuous improvement should impact their bottom line, should return some dollars back to the company?
Well, yes and no. Maybe not in the very first month or 6 months, but it should focus on improvement. So if you're improving productivity or you're improving sales or you're reducing costs, somehow there ought to be some measure of that. Now, if you're taking the money and using it for other things, then there may not be an improvement in profitability. But as long as you're doing that knowingly, you should be able to measure what impact those improved activities have on your business. Again, it may be possible that some things are going to take much longer in time to have a positive result. But as long as we're measuring the payoff, we should know what the amount, the size of the payoff is.
Would a good analogy be the first time I got my day timer, it took me some time to learn how to use it, so I may have not been productive or as productive as I used to be in the beginning, but now that I'm learning how to use it and I'm using it every day, and I become much more productive than I was before. Is that the kind of the cycle that we look at?
Well, and so if you were measuring your own activities, you might say, Do I seem to lose as many things as I used to before, or am I more organized? If I'm more organized, how do I measure that? Well, maybe you can look at your file cabinet and see that it's easier to find things. You don't lose as many things, or whatever it happens to be. You can measure the amount of time you spend looking for files. I mean, a lot of companies do that. They're not well organized in terms of their filing, and so, mm-hmm. You know, people lose stuff. Well, if you lose stuff, if you kept track of that on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis, you could sooner or later measure whether you're getting any better at it, at finding things.
And you used the sales analogy, so I imagine that if a salesperson could just become, could improve to the point where they could see one more person a week, or make one more sale, or make one more presentation a week, if you've got 5 salespeople, that's a significant bottom line impact.
Absolutely.
That's a small incremental step.
Sure, and you're talking about doubling sales through this very same means. And so maybe one extra meeting a week is too much to expect in the first month. But these extra calls, extra contacts, extra people you see, extra pieces of mail you mail out, those can all be measured, and we all know that those are good marketing activities, and they will produce leads over time as long as we're tracking that stuff. Companies that don't know whether they're getting better are the people that aren't measuring those kinds of things.
So the technique to help decide whether to move forward should be really thinking about what you would want to accomplish and thinking about the value to your organization, and understanding what your investment's going to be compared to the value, and understand whether you want to make that commitment.
Well, that's a good planning question.
Okay, so give us some ideas of techniques that we can use as we go through these steps.
Well, I think you've given me the two-minute sign, so the one I was going to talk about most is about process flow diagramming. I think what we ought to do is maybe just give a quick overview, and then we'll come back.
Sure.
Basically, what we want to do is document how things are done currently. You know, in our business, we spend a lot of time trying to understand the steps that go into making something work. And once we know what the steps are, then we can improve each step. So if we're focused on, let's say, turning around a proposal more quickly, well, what has to happen in order to do that? Well, we have to go through the certain steps to understand information. If we leave information unidentified when we talk to a prospect and we have to call them back, we know that's something that we shouldn't have to do. And if we get better and better at asking questions when we're with a prospect, we won't have to make that step over again. Or we won't have to call and then wait for a return call or whatever it happens to be. We can cut out that whole thing.
Okay, so Joe, you're saying the first step is understand where you are today.
Yep,
and what
absolutely.
You're doing today.
Document so what you're just, doing today.
Right. Makes sense. That's process flow diagramming. I'm sure it's more complex, but we'll get back to that after the break. There are more than 100 events each year that focus on the guests and topics discussed here on your Network for Success. In fact, we had an executive briefing in the past on this topic, and we'll have one in the future. If you have an interest in learning more about this topic, you can call us for a tape 24 hours a day at 634-7013 or schedule an appointment to come to a reservation to come to an executive briefing at some point in the future. We'll be back after these words.
YNS is a full-service integrated marketing services firm. We develop and deliver a sophisticated, custom-made system called Integrated Marketing Square. The Square designation results from the marriage between a highly successful legacy system and the digital world's many free marketing tools. This marriage produces exponential results for our customers. YNS helps our customers get the IMS Squared benefits and the most valuable marketing system they will ever use. The goals of your Network for Success are to 1. Provide you with up to a 10-to-1 return on your marketing investments. 2. Enable you to achieve better marketing results and sales results for less. 3. Get the IMS Squared benefits. And 4. The bottom line is to help your customers build their business. To talk to us personally, call 575-RESULT-6. That's 575-RESULT-6. Or in numbers, 575-737-8586. 575-737-8586. Or visit us on the web at www.network4success.com.
Remember, you have an opportunity to listen to this program via podcast by signing into our website and signing up as a member of YNS. This free sign-in provides you with many benefits. Just visit www.network4success.com for more details. That's network4success.com. If you have a successful business and would like to participate in a future program, call 575-RESULT-6 at any time, day or night. That is 575-RESULT-6.
Welcome back to your Network for Success. This is James Rorys with Consulting Task Force, and we're talking about continuous improvement techniques for building your business. And we're speaking with Joe Camara, President of Consulting Task Force. We're fortunate to have you here, Joe. I know you're very busy. We were talking about process flow as the first step in this process, understanding where you are today. And I know that you've just got through doing this with a company that's a 100-person company locally, and you're only focusing on the sales, how they create sales in that organization. And I saw these diagrams, which I just figured out what they were, but these are huge diagrams. It just seemed like there was a ton of work involved. Is it a function of the size of the business or the number of employees they had?
Yes and no. Part of the complexity was that they do a lot of re-engineering. They're in the construction business, and they design a particular type of material that not everyone knows how to use, and so they have to really get involved in the design and architecture of it. And they may submit it to somebody who says, well, I'd rather see this or that or the other thing. And so there's a lot of back and forth and loops, if you will, of stuff that needs to be redone. So when we were talking about the sales process, the salesperson can't do what I was getting to as easily earlier of going and asking all the questions and writing the proposal right from that interview. They have to maybe submit an initial diagram or initial architectural rendering. the person might not like it, or it may be too expensive, that particular version, so they got to take it back and redo it.
A lot of steps.
And there's a question of, you know, is the price too much? Is the design not so good? And so there's a lot of steps that have to do with redoing and reorganizing the initial draft.
Now, Joe, I heard that in this particular case that they actually invested about $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 at times, even before a sale was made.
Yes.
In this process.
Right. Well, of course, and that's part of what our job is to cut out that big investment. And so we've spent some time on the front end in terms of helping them try to understand that maybe they were spending a lot of time in the do loops, you know, getting things redone, but they weren't spending enough time up front qualifying. Well, there's some data now. It's been a couple of months that we've been doing this with them. Actually, it's been a longer period, but the time since we've actually started working on the better qualifying steps, their number of what we're now defining as qualified leads has gone down. The time they're spending on the redoing hasn't changed much, but they feel like they're getting better quality customers to work with during that redo process. So the money they're investing is being invested in much better quality customers than they were earlier.
That's incredible. That's a significant amount of money that that's being invested, and I'm sure that many businesses have no idea, especially as their staff grows from 5 to 10 to maybe 15 or 20 or more employees. They have no idea what steps are being or what kind of investments being made by your employees in those activities.
Right, and until you spend some time trying to put it on paper, unless it's already been done from the beginning. I mean, some companies think this way, but it's our experience that most don't, and so systems evolve by accident more than by
sure.
design. And so there's a lot of steps in there that can be reduced or cut out completely.
Or if you're lucky enough to have an employee that really cares and stays extra and invests extra time in making sure that this thing works, but many companies don't have that luxury or that luck. It seems to me that the key here is cutting out steps. What kinds of techniques or recommendations do you offer to people who are going through this process?
Well, this phraseology about redoing, I think, is a good one. If you think about anything that's rejected or needs to be approved more than once, if there's a reapproval process or if there's a re-input where there's duplication of work, we just dealt with a company that is in a much different business, and they were inputting the same data three times. Same identical stuff. Well, you don't need to do that three times. If you're well computerized or if you're more efficiently computerized, you don't need to do that, so you can cut out those steps. Anything that needs to be redone because it wasn't done right the first time, anything that needs to be repaired in any way, those are all opportunities to cut out those steps if you do it right the first time. So total quality really relates to this basic idea of continuous improvement, and it's ways to look for those areas of improvement that is where the payoff is.
Since most businesses survive on being proactive in terms of their marketing and sales activities, how I know that there are probably a lot of listeners thinking about how this is going to can impact that area of the business. What kinds of things specifically have you done or recommended to businesses who are looking to improve this area of their business? Is the computer a big part of it?
Anything that improves a systematic organization, sure. I mean, let's take the step about the idea about having to redo something three times. This company's computerized, except that their computers are not integrated. So one of the things, as you know, that we spend a lot of time talking about is integrated marketing. Well, integrated data utilization is also an important part of what we talk about. And so around our place, we have a big push on to make sure that if you put the data in once, it can be used in a variety of different forms. It drives us crazy to have to redo something more than once. Well, maybe that's okay in our company. Maybe we're small enough to have that luxury. Maybe a bigger company that's grown up, like the one I'm giving you an example of, needs to redo something three times. But we don't think that's the case. We think there are ways to do just exactly what we're doing by making their computer programs more efficient. Or even if the computer programs aren't more efficient, finding ways to use the current programs in a more effective way for their employees. And that may or may not involve computerization. It may simply involve the engineering or design of the way the workflow is.
So one key to this may be just getting what you're doing on paper, what you're writing manually, get that into a system that allows you to share that data amongst multiple people for multiple reasons. That's
well,
the bottom line. It sounds
we
like.
Did this very thing, and it had nothing to do with computers, and it didn't have to do with diagrams. It had to do with basic question of this one company was taking their equipment, going to a customer's location, setting it up, getting the job done, taking it down, and then packing it back in a truck. Well, all we simply did was say, does everybody know what the steps are? It's because there was a lot of confusion about whose responsibility was what. When we got to the place, there were people who went off and had a smoke when somebody else was working. And all we simply tried to do is help people think about how to be more efficient and effective at delivering the materials, unloading them, stacking them in a logical sequence of events, getting the job done in an organized fashion, tearing everything down and putting it back in the truck. Really fairly simple stuff, but the company wasn't used to doing that. Mm-hmm. And so until we started, and we worked with all of their people, all of the operators, the people right at the level of actually doing this, and they actually gave us the input to make it happen. And so that's a key point about this continuous improvement. You got to involve your people. They'll help you improve it as long as you make this effort.
Joe, this is a question you asked me to make sure I worked in during the show. Explain a little bit about the Pareto principle.
Well, I'm sure most people will recognize that often that 20% of your customers produce 80% of your results or your income, or that 20% of some process produces 80% of the problems. It's that same basic idea. And probably since you just gave me a sign to wrap up, we'll come back and talk about it.
Well, I want to talk about that, but I also want to talk about the 9-block technique. I think our listeners are going to be very interested in that. You're listening to Your Network for Success. This is James Roryes with Consulting Task Force. Our focus today is continuous improvement techniques for building your business. If you have an interest in learning more about our topic today, you can give us a call at 634-7013. That's 634-7013. We'd be happy to send you a tape of tonight's show.
Are you an experienced real estate professional that wants to double your income? Have you ever thought about owning a real estate office of your own? You should talk with Consulting Task Force. After years of exceptional growth and with the help of Consulting Task Force, only one team of real estate professionals in Western New York is on the fast track toward expansion. This team offers commissions substantially higher than any other local firm. This team will underwrite your ownership of new local offices in high growth areas. This team has and will continue to invest heavily in new and advanced marketing and sales programs never used before in Western New York's real estate industry. To learn more about this growing team of real estate professionals and to get on the fast track toward reaching your goals, call CTF at 634-7013 24 hours a day. That's 634-7013. Your success is guaranteed. Don't put off your dreams any longer. Call 634-7013 today.
Welcome back to Your Network for Success. We're talking about continuous improvement techniques with Joe Camara, President of Consulting Task Force. And Joe, I promised our listeners that you'd help us think about how the Pareto Principle, the 80-20 rule, and the 9-block techniques help us develop and implement our continuous improvement techniques.
Well, let's do first things first. Let's think about the Pareto Principle. We described it as a fact that often 80% of something is produced by only 20% of something else. So if it's customers, 20% of our customers produce 80% of our revenues. Or if we're having difficulties, if there's some problem that our operation is producing, chances are only 20% of the problem is causing 80% of the bad outcome we're getting. And so that's one of the things we want to do, is we want to try and look for those 80-20 rules. And one of the ways to do that is to think about five categories. If we think about materials, machines, people, methods, and measurements, which one of these kinds of areas might be producing this big impact? Those are the things we want to focus on. So if we're getting poor materials, for instance, in our process, if it's causing us to create a lot of scrap, well, then we ought to do something about the materials. Now, again, it may be self-evident, but if we're not looking at these things in a regular fashion, then, you know, we need to do something
about
it.
So you can start slipping that 1% rather than gaining that 1%.
Absolutely.
That's the bottom. That's the point.
Absolutely. So if machines are inhibiting the quality of the work that we do, let's say there's a typewriter. I know it's a bad example these days, but a printer that has a glitch in it that causes you to waste paper, or a copier that, let's say, using copy paper in a copier that's not a good match, and so the machine isn't able to handle the paper well, and so people waste time by standing around the copy machine. Well, if that's producing a large impact and wasted time, we ought to be thinking about doing something about that machine. People, what about training? if somebody is capable of doing something, that's great. What if they're not capable? Or what if they just need a little bit of extra help, but because everybody's so busy, that person isn't nearly as effective as they could be, or they are creating problems downstream? So the key question is, where are these 20-80 rules? Where can we make a 20% improvement to get 80% bigger impact? Or whatever, however you want to look at that. So it's this key idea of what we're looking at, and that's part of what we want to do in terms of identifying problems and opportunities. The 9 block relates to this idea. What we're going to do is create a box that has 9 blocks in it. And along one side, we're going to talk about ease of implementation, and on the other axis, we're going to talk about the size of impact of implementation.
So we got 3 blocks across, 3 blocks down.
That's right. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look for easily effective activities that have a big impact. Well, it's the 20-80 rule, just in a, said in a different way. But if you're now looking at your activities in that 9-block approach, you can identify where we call your high-impact, high-priority payoff items are. And if you can identify those, again, maybe you're going to get a lot more than 1% a month, as we were talking about earlier.
So it's a way of graphically illustrating the beginning of this planning process.
It's a tool. It's a tool that if when people learn to use and get comfortable with, they can do their own analysis so they don't have to waste somebody's time to try and retrain them every time.
And this sounds like something that, you know, once an office manager or once an operations engineer or once an individual learns, it can be adapted to their business and used on a regular basis, weekly, monthly, however often.
Absolutely. So if you're talking about getting people organized in small teams to start, usually you want to have some easily identifiable area that's going to create success. So sales is a good one because it has a lot of measurable stuff in it. And you get a small team together, and either you do the process flow diagramming, or you do 9-block, or you do Pareto principle, and you identify areas that can be improved. Then you start measuring the improvements. You get people involved and excited about it. You give them feedback so that they know that things are working. And once they've maybe solved most of that problem, they can go on to the next problem.
So, Joe, if we're going to wrap the show up, it sounds like really the bottom line here is just more. It's good to be introspective. It's good to analyze yourself and understand what you're doing and why. But it seems like it's more than that. The continuous improvement idea really is much more than simply looking internally.
Well, it's internalizing looking internally. It's making things happen in a systematic, continuous way, and after you've got the first 6 months worth of results, not stopping, it's continuing it.
Okay, great. Thanks, Joe. I wish we had more time. We'll have an executive briefing on this topic at some point in the future. If you're interested in more information, we'll send you the tape. We can send you some more information. We may even send you a copy of the 9-block if you're interested. You've been listening to your Network for Success. We're here for those of you dedicated to building your financial and business success. And our listeners can tell you that not taking advantage of the opportunities that the Network for Success offers is probably costing you money. The continuous improvement idea is a good example. To learn more, contact Consulting Task Force 24 hours a day at 634-7013. That's 634-7013.
Remember, you have an opportunity to listen to this program via podcast by signing into our website and signing up as a member of YNS. This free sign-in provides you with many benefits. Just visit www.networkforsuccess.com for more detail. That's networkforsuccess.com. If you have a successful business and would like to participate in a future program, call 575-RESULT-6 at any time, day or night. That is 575-RESULT-6. Thank you for joining us. If your business or organization is looking for an expert to present important information about supply chain optimizers, call WWYNS Speakers Bureau for a free referral. We hope you got at least one bottom line idea as a result of listening to Jack and Pooja. Our program, The Leading Edge of Supply Chain Management, was brought to you by Supply Chain Optimizers. SCO is a logistics company known for providing personalized, end-to-end cost-saving tools and techniques focused on improving the hundreds of opportunities firms have hidden within their supply chain activities. If you want to download 15-minute segment podcasts of this program, simply go to www.networkforsuccess.com. That's network, the number 4, success.com.
This program was produced and directed by Your Notebook for Success and is copyrighted as of March 11th, 2013.